As we reflect today upon this reading, I also want to touch on the other readings from our day's worship, our call to worship from Psalm 25, and also our gospel reading from Luke. And I may even, if time permits, preach just a bit on the Colossians text. All of our readings from our Bible study this week, and I hope and pray that some of you are being able to tune in, if not live, at least later, as we reflect on a weekly basis on these four lectionary readings, that as we do so will give us a good landscape of the entirety of Scripture over a three-year period. You can join us certainly live on Wednesday nights, or go back and watch those Bible studies on our Facebook Live page throughout the week. Encourage you to do so. As I reflected this week on those words that Randall shared with us, that story, that beautiful parable that Jesus tells about the Good Samaritan, as the Samaritan has come to be known, there's nowhere, though, in Luke where the writer actually calls the Samaritan good. And I think that's a reminder even to us, no matter what we do in our works, in the great majesty and glory of our God, they still pale in comparison. There's nothing good in us. None, not one, is worthy of the glory and grace that God has given us. Not the Samaritan, not any of us who strive to live out our faith in a way to impact this world through Christ's love and for God's glory. And Jesus, as we heard in that gospel reading, is asked by this person who was a sojourner in the faith, what must I do? That was the question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And then Jesus gives this very difficult, challenging appeal that you care for the person in need, no matter who they are. And then he turns their world upside down and said, that very one is your enemy. That was the neighbor that Jesus called this person searching for restitution, searching for how he could be reconciled to God. Basically, Jesus is saying there's nothing you can do to inherit eternal life. It's simply who you become to inherit eternal life. In other words, it's not anything that we achieve. It's who we are. It's being children of God. It's being those who first are claimed by God's grace beyond anything that we do. You know, I love the way the psalm reading in our call to worship reminds us that God's grace comes first. Did you notice this? Let me reread a portion of the psalm today. From verse 5, here's the words of King David as he reflected on God's goodness. David said this, "Lead me in your truth, O God of my salvation." Here's what I think David is saying here. I want to walk in your ways, God. I want to embrace this call that you gave us in Deuteronomy to say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want to embody what Jesus will preach about when he says, to inherit eternal life, this is what you have to do. You have to love God with all your heart. You have to love God with all your soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what you have to do. David is saying here in the psalm, that is what I want to do, God. I want to do what's pleasing to you. But David says this with his desire to embrace the law. He said, oh, but Lord, as much as I want you to teach me your truth, this is what I understand. You are already the God of my salvation. Wow. He said, teach me your way, for you are the God of my salvation. It's not me walking in your ways that gives me salvation. It's your grace and your goodness, God, that claims me as your child. So we reflected on our Bible study this week. Dr. Howell was preaching or teaching about that Colossians reading. And that's what he said to us as he read those words of Paul. He says, God's grace always comes first. We hear it here from David proclaiming, God's grace always comes first. But you see, to walk in Christ's ways, to embody the law, to serve one another with that passionate desire to love others with all of our heart, soul, and mind is indeed good. Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law and the prophets. So that is the desire of our hearts as people of faith, even though our works don't save us, make us right in the eyes of God. It's God's grace that does that. There are benefits. Or in the words of our reading from Deuteronomy today, there is prosperity when we embody God's grace and walk in the ways of our Lord. Moses was proclaiming to the people of Israel as he was preparing them for that journey into the promised land, that transition into God's place of restoration and revitalization from them after they'd been into bondage. He said, if you will embrace this law, if you'll follow these commandments, you will prosper. It will be a blessing to you, in other words. So why do we embody our commitment to walk in God's ways, to follow Christ's path, and strive in every way we can to live out our faith, even though it doesn't save us? Because when we walk in God's ways, there is more joy. There's more happiness. There's more fullness in life for those around us and for us ourselves. So in other words, as Moses was proclaiming to people Israel, these laws aren't to beat you down. These laws are for your blessing. This is a gift of guidance for you and your family and those who will come after you to find that when you walk in the ways of God, then you live your best life. So as we search for scriptures and we ask Christ to guide us in our life and faith, we're reminded of the blessing of walking in God's ways. These laws don't save us, but these laws restore us for the fullness of life in God. But you know, I think there's another profound call for us written in this passage from Deuteronomy that reminds us, why should we embody the faith? Why should we try to do the faith? It doesn't save us. We're made right in God's eyes through the grace of Christ. But also, Deuteronomy says this to us. The writer shares that God delights in us when we walk in the ways of the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful statement? To be reminded, think of it as any parent or those who parented us. There's nothing our children can do, or there's nothing we could have done from our parents when we were children to keep them from loving us, right? They're going to love us regardless. Even when we're knuckleheads, when we mess up, when we betray them or desert them, when we go down the wrong path, our parents, our grandparents, those who gave us the greatest example of love, they never stopped loving us, right? Oh, but when we walked in the path that they would have us to go, not only did they love us, but they delighted in us. We made them pleased in us. You see the difference? We're never going to forsake God's love for us. No matter what we do, no matter where we go, God's grace came first. And just in claiming that grace as our own, we are children of heaven forever, regardless. But when we walk in God's ways, we also delight the one who claimed us as his children. That's what I want to do. I like to make mom and daddy happy, don't y'all? Isn't that the desire of all of our hearts when we're young people? We want those who nurture us with love as family. We want them to be pleased in us. That's the words that Jennifer read to us this week. As she shared this reading, she said, not only does God delight, but God is pleased in us when we walk in the way. So friends, that's another reason that we strive to embody these laws, these guidance, this instruction of Scripture that Christ gave to us. For when we walk in His ways, we are pleasing to the one who claims us as His children. Deuteronomy also says this, this very challenging thing. As Moses is instructing the people Israel, he says this, this is not too hard for you. Now that really confuses me. I don't know about y'all. Because Jesus has proclaimed in this story of the Good Samaritan that salvation is all but impossible. There's nothing we can do to inherit eternal life. And then Moses here says, the law's not too hard for you. Well, here's what I think we put together with the words of Jesus and of Moses. That as Jesus proclaimed, we cannot do anything. We can never be good enough to earn our salvation. Moses' guidance for us is to say this. You can be assured that you can perform the life of faith. You can walk in the ways of God because it's not simply your strength, but the strength of God that empowers you. I think that's at the essence of what Paul said as we see all of these scriptures for today connecting together. As Paul said in Colossians, he said that God is your strength. See, friends, isn't that good news for us to know? That as we strive to live lives faithful to God, that we don't have to trust in our own strength, but God will be strength for us. Let me say it this way. I've shared with some of y'all that Manya and I right now are building a house. We're going through all the challenges and the celebrations of home building. And if we make it another year without pulling our own hair out or each other's, we'll give thanks to God. No, so far it's went very well. We were together last night just reflecting, and we've kind of been in consideration, Freddie, of getting a generator because we don't want to be without power shall the storms come upon us, as they often do in this area. And kind of jokingly, well, significantly jokingly, Manya said, well, I don't think we need to get a generator. We're building right near my parents, Kathy, Pop and Shishi. So Manya said, we can just patch into their generator, Jody. And then I thought, you know, Freddie, not only could we just patch into their generator, we may not even need power at all. And we could just run an extension cord up to their house and they'd be our sole source of power for all of our needs, right? So I'm going to ask my dad about that later on today, Benton, and I suspect that he'll answer me with two words, and the second one will be no, and they'll be stated in quite quick succession, I would imagine, as well. He would have no interest in being my source of power. Why? Because it put him out. But friends, hear this. Hear these words from the Apostle Paul that said this to us. As you strive to live out the faith, friends, Know this, that when you walk in the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, Randall, it is pleasing to God. And God delights in you. But also hear this, God willingly, freely and abundantly becomes our source of power. Far greater than a generator can offer. Far greater than the generosity of a family member to sustain us in their strength. God's power is always there for us to strengthen us in the storm, to be there when the world may be dark. God yearns to give us the energy and the strength to sustain us no matter what we go through in this life. So friends, call out to the God of strength, love, life, and grace this day and forevermore. Amen. Friends, I invite you as children of the faith to remember with me now what it is that we believe. So if you would, stand.